How's my favorite branch doing?
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, we're back, but we're not. Rusty, Ethan, and Weiss here with you for the first time in pretty much, I guess, 3 months. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Go follow blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, officially Spotify. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Do what you got to do to up us in the rankings. A lot of exciting stuff coming for you guys this season. We're going to have media. We're going to have players, former and current. And we're going to have sponsors. So when we finally do the ad reads, which I believe the first one's going to be next episode, purchase the product, enter our promo code, support the motherfucking homies, and help us get a little bit richer. We appreciate you guys. And because we love you guys, and because this game comes out on Friday, we're giving away a Madden. We'll tweet out the details, but if you're listening, here's how to enter. You got to be following both me and Weiss, Ethan GSN, NYG Daily, and you got to be subscribed to the show. So send us a screenshot showing us that you're subscribed. You'll get one entry for each app that you subscribe on. So if you're subscribed on iTunes and Spotify, you'll get 2 entries into the contest. Weiss, what system is this on, PS4 or Xbox?
Honestly, it'll be whatever they want.
It'll be whatever they want. Oh, baby. All right.
No. I'll rephrase. It's going to be either Xbox or PS4.
PS4. Okay. Yeah. So Xbox or PS4, smash the subscribe button, send us the screenshots of your entries, make sure you're following both of us, and you'll get a chance to win the new Madden. Let's get into everything. Weiss, how are you?
Ethan, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. We haven't done this in a while.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
So much has happened.
A lot, and we got a lot to get into. We got the preseason game coming up. We've got Odell's contract situation. Knock on wood, maybe this is something we jump into, but I know it's not on our little rundown, but honestly, there have not been too many notable injuries so far in camp, or at least, you know, ones that we need to worry about. I'm following, you know, around the league, torn ACL, this, ruptured Achilles, that. Giants have remained relatively healthy, which honestly, it's a rarity. So maybe this is a little bit of positive regression, if you will, for a healthy Giants team, at least throughout camp. Where do you want to start? I know we had Odell's contract situation number one on the list, and certainly an interesting situation and a lot of different, I'll say, rumors coming out from Ian Rappaport and from Josina Anderson.
Right.
What is true is still to be determined, but I know each of us has our thoughts on the situation.
Yeah, first and foremost, I mean, this is our first episode in a while, so
yep.
He showed up to voluntary workouts.
Yep.
He went through OTAs.
Yep.
He's now showed up to training camp.
Mm-hmm.
He's looks like he's 100%. First of all, that's surprising because I didn't think that he would show up to OTAs.
Me neither.
With the training camp, I was a little bit iffy, but I thought for sure he was not going to show up. But once he did show up and once he was a participant, to me, it's a calculated risk, like he said.
Uh-huh.
But it puts all the pressure on the Giants because – you got fans on his side now, even the media is sort of on his side, and everyone's looking at the Giants like, okay, you know, when are you guys going to get this done? So lots been made of it. We're now seeing reports of negotiating is taking place, and you're seeing Odell's team use a certain media platform to put stuff out there, and you're seeing the Giants use a certain media platform to put stuff out there. So this is all a part of the negotiations. I know it's Odell, so everything is blown up even more because he is – you know, such a phenomenon, and you know, everyone wants to have an opinion on everything he does, but hey, this is the way negotiations work, man. Somebody asks for this much, the team asks for this much, and guess what? They find a middle ground and they get a deal done. So we'll see how this whole thing plays out. I think Odell has done everything right. I think ever since that video came out back in the springtime, he's sort of done a 360 and gone from, you know, basically all football all day, every day, not worrying about anything else. You know, you don't really see him out there like we used to. And that's a good thing because you know, when people don't have anything to say about Odell, that's always a plus. And now we just wait and see when the deal will get done, how much it will be, and how long it'll be for. So, you know, that's my opinion on it. What about yours?
Well,
about this whole Odell phenomenon. We'll get into like figures and how much and what's better for him to do. But what are your thoughts on just Odell being here now and taking part in everything?
That video you referenced, you know, of course, eating pizza crust and Parmesan cheese, as we all know. But yeah, of course. But to me, listen, you phrased it very, very well in as it being a calculated risk. To me, it's, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, this is the route that he had to take. You know, it's sort of a result of a narrative perpetuated primarily by, I'll say, the lamestream media out there. Not even lamestream, you know, basically New York Daily News. Shout out Pat Leonard. Just kidding. Go fuck yourself. But it's, you know, it's unfortunate that this is what it's come to, because, you know, you look around the league and there are plenty of players that hold out for contracts. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, Odell is fully healthy. You know, we've seen clips. He's participated in OTAs, training camp, you know, the whole nine yards. To him, for him to go into both camp and the preseason without a new contract is so risky. I respect it. I think it's dumb. I think that if I was a player, I would be holding out right now, because coming off an injury as horrific as his was with the shattered ankle, you know, to even risk a slight injury, right? You know, for his first ever training camp, he had the tweaked hamstring that kept him out for a few weeks. Now he's got the shattered ankle. Can you imagine the narrative that the media and the New York Giants put out if, you know, he pulls up lame running a route during training camp, that, oh, you know, this guy is, he's not very durable, you know, let's try to lowball him, which they already did, according to Josina Anderson. Now, you know, kudos to him. I you know, as someone who tends to side with the players, I don't necessarily support the decision, but I can respect it. Now, in terms of where negotiations start, if the report by Josina Anderson is true that the New York Giants started valuing him beneath Sammy Watkins' money, that is beyond insulting. Now, a lot of people make the argument, you know, oh, that's how negotiations work. You know, you can go door in the face, go lowball. You don't show up to an open house for a property that costs $1 million and offer the broker $550,000, right? That's just not how it works. You have to start at least in the ballpark. And the ballpark for him is Antonio Brown money. Now, in terms of exact figures and numbers, I don't know. I'm not as brilliant as Kevin Abrams is. You know, a lot of it's going to come down to guaranteed money and how much of that money is guaranteed for him. And unfortunately for him, based on how little cap space they have, it's not like they can tear up this current deal and start paying him more this year, right? Any new deal would have to start with that increased cap hit next season. And, you know, a lot more plays into that, like Eli's contract and who else comes off the books. We're not going to get too deep into that. But listen, when it's all said and done, Odell is going to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league. And the Giants better hope that they get this deal done, I'll say, before the third preseason game. Because you don't want to go into week one with this thing over your head where you don't know whether or not Odell is going to decide to take the field because you guys dilly-dallied and didn't get the contract done in time. So at least that's my current worry, is getting it done so that it doesn't become a distraction later into the preseason.
I'm going to say this. I'm not really worried right now. Because for starters, when the agent shows up to training camp,
always a good sign.
And you see him, there's a picture of him with Abrams, you know, laughing and smiling. When you see that, you kind of see that, you know what, there's progress that's being made here. You know, like both sides are confident that they're going to get a deal done. Whether it's by the next couple of weeks or before week one or in the beginning of the season, I think the understanding is that it's going to get done. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, the understanding is also is that he's going to be the highest paid receiver in the NFL.
Sure.
That's going to happen. Whether it's $100K more a year than Antonio Brown or $1 million more or $2 million more, Odell's going to become the highest paid wide receiver in the game. Yep. But here's the interesting part about this thing. If you're Odell, obviously the NFL and the NFLPA CBA comes to an end, I think, in 2020. Does Odell take a three-year deal? You take a three-year deal. Do you become the highest paid receiver? You take a shorter deal, which less guaranteed money, or more guaranteed, more of that portion being guaranteed, and then see what happens with the next CBA. You never know what's going to happen. Sure. Could the salary cap go away? We don't know what's going to happen. And then you come back after 3 years and you're a free agent. And I believe he'll still be under the age of 30, be 28, I believe, when he'll be a free agent again.
Again, so another calculated risk, though, because you never know. Listen, things in the NFL change very rapidly, and you know he suffers a few more injuries. Granted, a lot, like I said, a lot of that comes down to guaranteed money, but you know,
right.
it all depends on whether he wants to lock in term or if he wants to, you know, the opportunity to make even more money down the road.
But here's the thing: usually with these contracts that are 5 years, 4 or 5 years, after the third year, once that guaranteed dollar gets out of the way, the final 2 years are usually become
team options. Yeah.
So essentially, even if he is, you know, God forbid, injury riddled throughout this, you know, first 3 years, the Giants could turn around and cut him. They could, you know, who knows? Maybe they could tell him, hey, you got to take a pay cut. But that's speaking hypotheticals. For Odell, taking a 3-year deal, maybe that's the smart route to go.
Yep.
Then by the time the new CBA is in, you're a free agent. Who knows? Maybe you can get more money. Ultimately, I think this is going to be a 5-year thing. I think they're going to lock Odell in for 5 years. I think he's going to get around Antonio Brown range. I think he'll obviously surpass Antonio Brown. But I think the big thing between these two guys will be the guaranteed dollars. If that happens, if they can come to an agreement on that, then I think this thing will get done. But I'm not really worried about it. I think it's pretty simple. If you saw Ian Rappaport's report, the Giants know they have to make Odell the highest paid receiver.
Right.
They know it. One of the guys I respect highly when it comes to Giants info is Mike Garofolo. He said, look, this is what the Giants do. They're going to take care of Odell Beckham. I'm not worried about it. Now, if this thing drags into the season and we start seeing more, you know, I'm not going to say more stuff, but start stuff to come out about how the negotiating is starting to get a little bit, you know, toxic and maybe the relationship is not going as good, then you start to worry. But right now, as Odell said, he's optimistic that something is going to get done. I think something is going to get done. I think it's a matter of, you know, just hashing out some of the things. But the Giants know what they got to do. And for Odell, I think he's trying to get as much as he can while he can. So good for him. And it's all a part of the process. But I think a deal gets done.
All right. Moving on. Training camp. Let's go into some battles, some names, guys that you're keeping an eye on. You've probably kept a closer eye on it than I have, at least over the last couple of days. I have some names in mind, but I'll throw it to you first.
Sure. Names that I'm watching so far. So I'm gonna reveal something. So I've sort of taken football out of my life for the past month.
You've been busy.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I spent this past couple of days really getting into Giants camp, really seeing what's going on, and obviously some of the key battles taking place. To me, the most intriguing battle for me is the wide receiver 3 spot.
Yep.
There's a lot of intriguing Lewis. Names there. We got, you know, Cody Latimer, the guy they signed in free agency. We have Roger Lewis coming back for the season. But there's guys like Russell Shepard who came in, who's from Carolina. He's making plays. You're seeing a guy, and I'm going to tell you, keep an eye on this guy throughout the preseason. Amba Etatawo. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I might be wrong. He's having
no
a
harm,
good,
no foul.
Yeah. He's having a good preseason. Camp so far. Alonzo Russell, I believe the rookie out of Toledo, he's having a good thing. Khalif Raymond, Hunter Sharp, guys like that were here last year. So it's definitely an intriguing battle, and I think that's one to watch, specifically going into the preseason. Defensively, I'm looking at nickel corner. Who's going to be the third corner? Is it going to be, you know, William Gay, the veteran? Is it going to be this guy, Leonard Johnson, who they brought in, I believe, earlier this week? Who's going to step up and be that nickel corner for the Giants? Because that, to me, that's a position that I think all fans are really worried about, is the depth behind Janoris Jenkins. Even with Eli Apple, who is he going to be coming into the season? Is he going to be a guy that's going to keep his head on straight, not cause issues in the locker room, and on top of that, be able to take a huge step forward, because the Giants are going to need him to do that going into year 3 of his career. So a lot of interesting battles going on there. Wide receiver 3 is one I'm keeping an eye on, and that nickel cornerback spot is definitely one that I'm going to be watching closely throughout camp.
Yeah.
And preseason.
Sure. Let me throw out some names. Jalapio versus Brett Jones. I think most people, myself included, I was very much under the impression that Brett Jones was essentially going to seize the job and run with it. He played pretty well last year. Very, very good in pass protection. But it looks like Jalapio is sort of a little bit of a surprise. He's been taking a majority of the first team snaps. So Jalapio versus Jones in terms of filling out that center position, I think it's pretty much solidified. You know, the rest of the offensive line, Solder, Hernandez, and then it's going to be Jalapio, Jones, right side, Omame, and Flowers. Other battles, specifically the right side of the offensive line, Omame and Flowers versus literally any competent defensive ends, because it, I mean, listen, we already know what we're getting in Eric Flowers. So the right side of the offensive line going to be, you know, an issue for me, especially going into the preseason, especially the depth, because, you know, don't really know what we have in Chad Wheeler yet. People think he's flashed. I'm not a big Chad Wheeler guy. No,
the second team offensive line has just been
horrendous.
Yeah, they've been bullied.
They've been bullied in camp. And then the obvious. I know you went real deep in the wide receiver battle, but for me, Davis Webb and Kyle Auletta. I think we all know what each quarterback brings to the table. Davis Webb runs well, throws the ball well on the run. Kyle Auletta, very, very accurate, not a lot of power. Both guys, you know, have their roster spots locked up for the season. It's really going to be a depth chart issue and sort of proving if either of them has the ability to sort of succeed Eli Manning, whether it be next year or 2 years, God knows how much longer Eli is going to be playing. For me, it's going to be Webb and Auletta, rooting for both of them. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how well both of them have taken to Shula's offense so far in camp.
Yeah, I think Davis Webb is going to be the backup quarterback this year. I think Kyle Auletta is going to be a quarterback three, but I'm definitely intrigued to watch not just Auletta, but Davis Webb too. I mean, we spent the entire offseason talking about Davis Webb and whether or not he should have an impact on whether or not the Giants take a quarterback at two. And now we get a chance to see him because he's going to play a lot during this training camp. I don't think we're going to see Eli, you know, at all in the first preseason game. Okay. Max, we might see him a series, but I think we're going to see a heavy dose of Davis Webb. We're going to see a lot of Kyle Auletta. And we're going to see what kind of progress Davis Webb has made. It's tough for him. You know, this is his second year in the league. But if you look at it, this is his third offense in 3 years dating back to college.
Yep.
So it's going to be a test, but I'm interested to see what kind of progress he's made and whether some of Shermer's quarterback magic has worked so far. So that's definitely an intriguing matchup. I am looking forward to watching Davis Webb and Kyle Auletta this preseason.
Let me ask you an unrelated battle question, but what do you make? I think it's a positive thing, by the way, and I'll get into my take. But what do you make of the Saquon Barkley news that they're sort of taking it easy on him in camp?
I think they have to.
Yeah, they have.
I don't think Saquon should play in the first preseason game.
I mean, 100% agree with that.
I mean, I think if you put him out there for a series or two. It was interesting. I was asked about this. I said, how much do you think Saquon should play in the preseason? I said Saquon should get somewhere between 10 and 15 attempts throughout this entire preseason. Rushing attempts.
I would not disagree with you. I think a lot of people forget this. Okay, just because they brought in Omame and they brought in Solder and Will Hernandez is like this very highly touted rookie, the Giants offensive line is very minimally improved from last year. Now, don't get me wrong. Replacing Solder at left tackle, right, putting him there is a massive upgrade over Flowers. But the right side of the offensive line is still a huge question mark. Jalapio versus Jones at center is not exactly, you know, exuding confidence. And then the left side should be good, but we don't really know. So at the end of the day, take it easy on him because he's going to be a guy that you run into the ground throughout the course of the season. I think he's going to be really, really, really good in the passing game. The run game, I'm a little nervous because if one person on this offensive line gets injured, we're in, you know, a living hell for the rest of the season, especially with the defenses this team has to face, you know, up until their bye. So take it easy on Saquon, and you know what he's capable of. So just get him the ball during the regular season. But
yeah,
you know.
I think that's the goal. I think the goal is to get him to week one and to get him healthy. I think the most important thing for Saquon between now and week one is the mental part of the game.
Agree.
You know, being able to pick up blitzes, being able to
– Eli has spoken to him about this. Told him, you know, don't always try to be a hero and make a big play. Sometimes you just got to take the 3-yard gain and live with it.
And if that was one thing you were looking about Saquon's game from college that could be a question mark, was that. That was a, I don't even want to call it a weakness, but that was a question mark about his game. But to me, I know what I'm getting. And 10 to 15 rushing attempts to me is a good number. Obviously, I don't think he's going to play a lot in the fourth preseason game. So between the next three games, 15 snaps, I think is what I'm looking at right now. But there's an interesting thing I want to ask you about, and that is Odell.
Yeah.
Does he play? Because remember, this is still a new offense.
Right.
So you can't just sit him the entire preseason and then throw him out in week one, you know, and as great as he is, and I might be wrong, but don't you think that you got to get him in here in one of these games, whether it's obviously the more important third preseason game or maybe the second one?
Absolutely no. I mean, listen, he's going to play. He's not going to play first preseason game, that's for sure. Second preseason game, maybe he gets a series or two. And then, like you said, the third preseason game is where he's going to get probably a majority of his snaps. But you have to get him some action. He hasn't played in a real game since when did he get injured? Week three,
last
week
October.
Week five. So, you know, you got to get him back up to speed. Like you said, brand new offense. So he'll get his snaps, but you know, it won't be in preseason game one.
Now let's how about defensively?
Yeah,
right? I absolutely love what I'm seeing from the defense.
Sure.
It is a ruthless, it is an aggressive, it is just, you know, especially, you know, we've talked about this for a couple of years now, pass rushing depth. I feel like the Giants have really good depth at the pass rushing position. I think Olivier Vernon's having a great camp. If you read and you see what's happening coming out of Giants camp, Vernon is just, not only is he abusing Flowers, which is, you know, not something
par for the course, yeah,
hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's working Nate Solder. Now, I know, you know, people will be like, well, oh, no, his Solder, you know, we paid him all this money. I think Vernon's having a great camp. I think he's fitting into this scheme, this defense, really, really well. And then you look at inside, Damon Harrison, Dalvin Tomlinson, who I think is going to take a big step forward. But this guy, B.J. Hill, I mean, he's getting first-team reps as well. He's working as well. And then the pass rushers, I absolutely love that Connor Barwin signing. I think that's a perfect veteran to bring in. He brings great depth. He's got a good motor. And then he can help a guy like Lorenzo Carter, who's also doing a good job so far in camp, who's also making plays. So I love what the Giants are doing. And I haven't even mentioned Kareem Martin yet, who's already coming from this defense playing in Arizona last year. So I really, really am looking forward to seeing the depth at the pass rushing spot and throughout the whole D-line. Because I think it's going to be a good D-line, and it's going to have to be considering all the weaknesses in the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a few good points. To me, a lot of it just has to do with James Betcher. You know, now that we don't have that dense fuck Steve Spagnuolo running the defense, is it so insane to say that Olivier Vernon could have 15 sacks this season and become the Chandler Jones of the New York Giants defense, as, you know, Chandler Jones had 17 sacks for James Betcher's Cardinals in 2017. But it's a matter of just getting your players in the position to succeed. And Spagnuolo's defense was very stubborn, really, really ran these players into the ground, as we saw with the game snaps for both JPP and Olivier Vernon. It's really just about taking your players, finding out what their strengths are. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that James Betcher has one of the most aggressive defenses in the league. I think they were like sixth in blitzes last year. So we're going to see, you know, really, really interesting formations. We're going to see pressure from guys who we may not even expect to see it from normally. But I'm really excited for the defense.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this defense. I think one of the best offseason acquisitions in the entire NFL was the Giants being able to get James Betcher to be their defensive coordinator. I think he's going to do a fantastic job with the players given to him.
What do you make of the free safety competition?
You know, I'm a little disappointed in Darian Thompson. I thought he would be the guy. I mean, I know he's been battling injuries the past couple seasons, but I thought that he would sort of, early on at least, sort of be the guy. But it's looking at the first unofficial depth chart,
yeah,
he's sort of falling behind Curtis Riley, who stepped in and taken, you know, that role. But I mean, that's, again, it's a question mark. You hope to see somebody, you know, take that spot by the neck, but so far it's just been, it seems like it's going to be a free safety spot by committee, and it's going to be dependent on what type of play they're running, you know, and they're going to just throw multiple guys out there. But Curtis Riley's right there right now. Thompson and obviously Andrew Adams as well. Yeah. We're going to see who can come out of it. But
that's a guy who I'm dying to see more of. I need to see Andrew Adams get significant playing time this preseason. We've sort of seen what he can do, and we know what his upside is. And the fact that, you know, him and Darian Thompson are battling right now, you know, it's great. You need some competition at these positions. And free safety isn't really a position the Giants have had, you know, a go-to starter for a few years. So really, yeah, really excited to see who snags that position.
I mean, they brought in Michael Thomas, who's played special teams, very good special teams player. But I don't think I want him starting.
Nope.
They have a rookie, Sean Chandler, who I think had a good practice today. I think he had an interception today and yesterday, if I read the reports correctly. So it's an interesting battle. But as we watch throughout the preseason, maybe somebody can come up and take that spot. But early on, it seems like Curtis Riley's been the guy. But I'm with you, man. I want to see a little bit of Andrew Adams more, and maybe Darian Thompson can sort of, you know, get this thing going, because I think he was the guy that, you know, they used a third round pick on him. So, you know, even though he's not part of this regime, he's still, you know, they invested a third round pick on him, regardless who made the pick. So
yep,
you're sort of hoping he can, you know, become the starter.
I'm really curious what a guy like Evan Engram's productivity is going to be like in this offense. I think you look at what Kyle Rudolph was able to do in Shermer's offense, Evan Engram being like 10 times the receiver that Kyle Rudolph is. And, you know, I think Rudolph put up numbers. I think it was like 600 yards and five touchdowns, or 700 yards and five touchdowns, something like that. And Engram coming off a really, really great rookie season. They're lining him up one-on-one on the outside. Mismatch nightmare all over the field. I mean, these are things that we already know. I'm just really, really excited for Shermer's offense and to see where he moves these guys around. Engram outside, Odell in the slot, Saquon out wide against the linebacker. I mean, it's really going to come down to the health of the offensive line, because Eli Manning, still competent, right? Yeah. Not one of the best, but you could do way worse than him. And then you really have these matchup nightmares all over the field. I saw someone today, you know, pardon me if it was you or if it was, maybe it was Diz. You know, the Giants are sort of like, depending on how their offensive line performs, they're like a sports car that has, you know, the leather seats, the nice nav system, the really, really shiny rims, but the engine sort of sucks. And, you know, in terms of the Giants, that engine is really going to be the offensive line, because you really have weapons to burn defenses all over the field. It's going to be whether or not Eli Manning has enough time. And, you know, I don't want to be optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic, because let's face it, the Vikings didn't really have a great offensive line last year either, and their offense was still pretty good. So Evan Engram, a guy I'm really, really excited for, and a guy I'm actually looking to draft in fantasy this year, as long as no one else reaches for him in my league.
Yeah, it's funny, Ruthen, I was talking to somebody today. He asked me, he said, you know, with Saquon in the mix now, who do you think benefits the most? And I said, Evan Engram.
Agree.
And he was like, why? I said, you know, here's the thing. You know, especially when they put Saquon out wide.
Yep.
I said, that safety is going to come up. So when that safety comes up, guess who has one-on-one against a linebacker?
Exactly.
Evan Engram. So you got Evan Engram one-on-one. Or if Evan Engram garners attention, then you got the receivers one-on-one. So to me, I think Evan Engram one-on-one against a linebacker in the intermediate game, in the deep ball, I think he's going to benefit the most from the addition of Saquon Barkley. And I think you're going to see him sort of put up big numbers, because I think he's going to create those mismatches. Eli is going to get that tight end the football. And I think that's going to be key for the Giants offense this year. We see how the success Pat Shermer has had with tight ends in the past. I think Evan Engram is bound to have a big season. And I think he's going to benefit a lot from Saquon being there. Now, obviously, when you look at the Giants offense, to me, it still starts and ends with Odell Beckham. I think he is the phenom. He's the A guy. He's the guy. This is his, you know, quote unquote team. But after that, you're gonna have a Saquon Barkley, who we think is the real deal. But then after that, you got Evan Engram. He's sort of that third option along with Sterling Shepard. So I think Ingram is bound to have a big season this year. I think he's going to benefit a lot from Saquon being there. And I saw a couple of clips. I think it was posted either. It wasn't from yesterday or today's practice. But, I mean, you see Saquon lining out wide, man.
Yep.
And you see him running these. He was pressed by Janoris Jenkins, and he still ran a route that got him the ball. I mean, this guy is – his route running is pretty good. You know, it's something that we got to start paying attention to. It gets me more excited to see him in week one. Just because, I mean, he can be really, really deadly in the passing game. And we talk about preseason snaps and how much he should play in the preseason. Well, we got to factor in, you know, besides the Giants playing and giving him the ball 300-plus times, they're going to also try to get him 50, 60, 70 receptions. So he's going to be in the offense a lot. So I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited. When you look at the Giants offense, you use a great analogy about that sports car and the engine. I think it's going to start not only with the offensive line, but with Eli Manning.
Yep.
I mean, we got to understand, Eli's 37. You know, and sometimes these sort of things, you know, they don't just
talking about a sports car with 130,000 miles on it.
Yeah, you know, these type of things, they come unexpectedly. So, you know, the fall from grace, it could happen really quickly for Eli. You know, maybe we don't notice it yet because of how bad the offensive line was and the injuries to the skill position players. But we don't know if Eli can be, you know, a guy that can be a competent quarterback. Now, we expect him to be. We think he can be. But I don't think anybody's out there saying to themselves that, you know what, I think Eli's going to have an MVP-type season. I mean, that's still a question mark, in my opinion. I still have my doubts whether or not Eli can be a quarterback that can take advantage of what's given to him, given his age. But we'll see. I mean, he's had a good camp so far. They're really throwing the ball deep. He's got a head coach that I really do like and a system that I really do like. So we're going to see. But we can't just say, you know, we're good at the quarterback spot. You know, Eli Manning, you know, we know we're getting with them. We really don't know. There's still some question marks. Is the arm strength still going to be there?
Yep.
Will he be able to get the football to certain spots? So those are all, you know, it's going to get cold. You know, I know it's really hot right now in Jersey and everyone's in shorts and everyone's looking great, but it's going to get cold, man. It's going to get windy, you know, and we're going to see if Eli can still sling that rock, you know, in November, December, and hopefully into January.
Yeah, no, I agree. And listen, there's no excuses at this point. He's got a competent left tackle, one of the best offensive coaches in the league. He's got Odell, Engram, Shepard, Saquon. It's put up or shut up time, and I think this is going to be
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Giants are the best skill position players in the NFL? When you look at running back, wide receiver, tight end?
They have to. They have
to. You think they're better than Pittsburgh?
That was the first one that came to mind, and I think 100%. Because who do they have? They have Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Giants have Saquon, Odell, and Engram. They got that third weapon that I think puts them a little bit over the top.
Yeah, see, I look
now,
at
don't
it.
Don't get me wrong. Pittsburgh's offensive line is far and away better than the Giants, but in terms of just weapons, definitely the New York Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I think Le'Veon Bell, to me, is the best running back in the NFL. I think he's the best. He's a top five skill position player in this league. I think he's the best back in the league. Antonio Brown and Odell, I think everyone has their opinion on it, but to me, Odell's the best receiver in the game when he's healthy.
Yeah,
when he's on, there's nobody better. So I think, to me, the Giants are the best, you know, skill position players. They have the best skill position players in the league, but it's going to be a matter of can the offensive line protect? Can Eli get the ball out? And we're going to find out. I mean, we're going to find out, man, in a couple – what is today? What is August 7th, 8th, 6th, 7th? I don't know what date it is. We're getting close to week one, and they got a great week one opponent too that we can learn a lot about this team week one.
Oh yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't think it's gonna be pretty, but hey, I mean, hopefully I'm proven wrong.
I mean, I don't know, man. Listen, the NFL's crazy, especially
week one. You're right.
You know, you never know.
I'm gonna
wait. We'll make our predictions in the later episode.
Yep, for sure.
But you know, let's take a step back for a second. You know, we still got a little bit of time to go talk about some of these other things going on. Before we get to week one, still a lot to be decided.
All righty. We got like one or two questions to get into before we end the show. Let's get into them. From Brian Walsh, my only question is, where have you guys been and what took so long? Well, Brian, we're back and we're better than ever. Season 3. This is from Wallace. What are y'all expecting from Davis Webb and Kyle Oletta this preseason? Do you think either of them have a legitimate shot at being the future New York Giants starting quarterback? I do. You're basically sort of playing the odds. You drafted two guys, neither of which is NFL ready. But you do have that, you know, that battle to go on behind Eli Manning, and it's not like either of them was expected to step in right away. But I do think that at least one of them is going to pan out and be a competent starting quarterback.
What I'm expecting from Davis Webb and Kalaletta, first of all, I'm expecting progress throughout these preseason games because, like I said, we're going to see him a lot. As far as them having a legitimate shot, I mean, you know, if it depends how much longer we think Eli's going to play. I mean, if he plays one more season, then shit, you know, really got no choice but to have an opportunity, you know. Yeah. So, but I got to see them play, man. I got to see what they can do. And for Kalaletta, I don't know if one preseason is enough for me to say, oh, he's the future, penciling him in, forget about drafting a quarterback ever again.
That would be like saying Davis Webb looks good in shorts, so he's definitely the future.
Exactly, you know, and sending me clips of his agent posting videos of him. Yeah. You know, listen, I don't want to we talk a lot about that. No, but we got to see these guys play. I mean, when was the last time Davis Webb got in the game? I think it was the fourth preseason game last year, right?
Yeah.
We got to see some more of him, man. We got to see him run. And I think he was running with threes and fours.
Exactly.
So now he's going to, I mean, at least we're going to see him start running with the twos, maybe a little bit of the ones. But we got to see these guys play before we start talking about them being the future of anything.
Agreed.
We got to see them first play.
From Jimmy, one under the radar guy to watch out for in these preseason games. Who's your guy?
One under the radar guy to watch out for in these preseason games. I'm going to say Amba Eta Ahao, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call him Amba Eta.
Yeah, there you go.
He went to Maryland, transferred to Syracuse, a guy that I did follow throughout his collegiate career at Maryland for obvious reasons. I think he's a guy that could potentially, you know, buy himself a roster spot because I think he can make plays, and I think the more plays he makes, I think the more snaps he'll earn. But he's going to have to do it on special teams early on. But as a guy that I'm watching closely throughout the preseason.
I'll go another wide receiver. I'll go Jawil Davis. I don't expect him to make the roster, but he ran a 4.38 40 with a 39-inch vertical. So he's definitely someone that might stand out to you during the preseason just on his athleticism alone. So I'll go Jawil Davis.
Okay.
All right. Last question. From the Nonsense 44, do you see OBJ's contract being done before week one versus Jacksonville, and what do you think it will look like? Sort of already touched on this. Yes, I think it will get done before week one at Jacksonville. I expect him to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, and I expect it to be a five-year deal.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's going to be a five-year deal. I think it's going to get done before week one. And I put it around, you know, between 88 and 90 million, but I think the guaranteed dollars, you know, are going to eclipse.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is, and I think this thing will get done. I think if you're the Giants, you're open. It's a five-year deal because you want him here longer, as long as possible. But I think I won't be surprised if OBJ looks for a three-year thing.
All right.
For reasons that I explained earlier.
Perfect. Any final words before we wrap up?
I'm just glad we're gonna see Baker Mayfield on Thursday.
Yeah, we are.
Your guy.
My
guy.
Are you going
to that game? You
no,
should be going to that game.
I'm not going to be at that game. I should. Maybe I'll look into getting tickets.
You should go to that game.
That's my guy. I told you that totally slipped my mind. All right.
You know, he's going to play a lot too.
Definitely. Oh, man. Now I'm so excited. I'm more excited for him than I am for the rest of the Giants. that's awesome. All right. My guy, Baker Mayfield. I got nothing else, man. I'm excited to be back. Excited to be back behind the microphone. And I'm excited to do some GIFs. Let's get GIFing.
Yes.
That'll do it for this brand new episode of NYG Weekly. Follow me on Twitter at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Enter to win the brand new Madden. You want it for free. Your friends are paying for it like chumps. We'll give it to you. All you got to do, follow us on Twitter and send us a screenshot that shows that you are subscribed to our podcast. Multiple entries if you're subscribed on iTunes, Spotify, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. You can enter up to as many as 5 or 6 times, I'm guessing. I guess that's the total there. So go ahead, enter that contest, and we'll speak to you guys next week.
Peace.